And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. We've had a great week with a number of interesting guests on the It's Your Turn program, and that will continue today. We'll be talking in just a few moments with our first guest on the Friday program. And he's a sports writer, well-known sports writer nationally, Kurt Sampson. He's written a biography of Tiger Woods, the golfer. Whether you're a Tiger Woods fan or not, and some people really like him and some people really don't, he is big in the world of golf. And he's had an interesting career, an incredible meteoric rise as a very young man, and then a big fall. He's had some personal problems and some medical problems. He appears to be back. Well, that's what Kurt Sampson is writing about, and we'll talk to him in just a couple of moments. Also on the program today, Jim Furnish, a former deputy chief of the U.S. Forest Service. And he's going to be talking about plans by the Trump administration to open up some national forest land for the lumber industry. And Jim Furnish is opposed to that, and we'll talk to him and see why he feels that way a little bit later on the program today. And also today, Jeff Poole, who will have some tips on planning for retirement, particularly with regard to investments as you plan for retirement down the road. So a lot of interesting stuff to talk about on the program today. We had an interesting program yesterday, didn't we? Were you with us? Local attorney Elizabeth Smith visiting with us, talking about, among other things, the grand jury system in Pennsylvania, how it works, and how it is almost never used except in Allegheny County and Philadelphia County, which is rather strange. I learned a little bit about the grand jury system. I hope you did too if you were with us yesterday. And we also talked about some new faces coming to the Butler County Courthouse and the court system. A nice chat yesterday with attorney Elizabeth Smith. Okay, we're going to get ready to hook up with Kurt Sampson. He's not here in Butler. We'll be chatting with him on the telephone. We'll make that connection, and we'll be talking about Tiger Woods coming up here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words. Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive. Coming up, listeners, we're going to be talking about one of the greatest golfers of all time, maybe the greatest, Tiger Woods. We chat on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. And by the way, I'm Dave Malarkey. If you're just joining us, we chat with Kurt Sampson, sports writer, who has penned a story of Tiger Woods. The book is entitled Roaring Back, The Fall and the Rise of Tiger Woods. First of all, Kurt Sampson, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today, sir.
I appreciate it, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Tiger Woods, I've run into people in my circle of acquaintances, my circle of friends that don't know anything about golf, but they still follow Tiger Woods. What do you think makes the world so fascinated with this guy, even though they're not golfers or they don't really follow golf that closely?
You know, at heart, I think it's his gaudy success. It's impossible to ignore a guy who does so well. Then there's the, I don't know, the sort of tradition-breaking aspect of Tiger, this black man succeeding at a very high level in a white sport, after all. His style, his charisma, those piano key teeth, he's hard not to pay attention to. Tiger's really moves the needle that way.
And he's been around for a long, long time. I would imagine that most people, certainly most golfers, have seen that video of him. He was on, it was Merv Griffin or something like that, when he was three or 4 years old, swinging a golf club and hitting a ball.
That's right. I guess at about age 14, when he started winning national championships, until the present moment, and he turns 44 in a week or two. He's been center stage in golf. It's just an amazing life the guy has had. How high he ascended in our esteem and in his sport, and then how very low he sank about a decade ago when you may recall what happened.
Yes. Well, thus your title, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. Listeners, a little bit about our guest. Kurt Sampson is one of America's leading golf writers. He's written several books, including a New York Times bestseller, The Masters and Hogan. And, Kurt, we can't talk about Tiger Woods without talking about the Masters tournament, can we?
No, was the impetus for the book, really, Dave. His almost out of nowhere win last April in the Masters. It wasn't quite unexpected. He had won the Tour Championship in the fall of 2018, so that just amped up the excitement for April. And Tiger didn't disappoint. He played superbly, and he was superbly lucky to win. Amounted to one of the most theatrical golf tournaments, maybe the most dramatic golf tournament since Nicklaus won at Augusta in 1986.
And that was back when he was in his mid-40s, and I think still to this point remains the oldest person to win the Masters.
Well, yes, he was 46, as I recall.
Let's talk a little bit about the fall of Tiger Woods. There were a couple of factors, at least, that I can think of, and one of them had to do with his personal life. I don't ordinarily talk about that a great deal with sports figures, but it's inescapable if you're talking about the fall of Tiger Woods, right, Kurt?
True enough. My book, of course, discusses it in broad strokes. I think I have the same distaste for you for that episode in his life and dissecting it too carefully for a couple of reasons. One, reliving those bad old days is a disservice to the scores and scores of women he was cheating on his wife with. Their names don't have to be brought up again. And I prefer to let somebody else work that side of the street. I can, while I outline Tiger's fall and analyze the reasons for it, for detail, I refer readers to contemporaneous issues of the National Enquirer. That's their stock and trade. They do a great job with scandal. Me, not so much.
Well, and it was scandalous behavior. There's no question about that. But there was also, as I recall now, there was a traffic accident that was kind of tied in with that, right? And that was a bizarre thing. Do you talk about that in your book, Kurt Sampson?
I do. I am both of the vehicle problems Tiger had. The one November 2009, I believe, in which Tiger stumbled out of the house while his the wife was giving him hell after she had discovered via his cell phone his numerous, or at least some of his liaisons. I visited the scene of the crash, for what it's worth, and slightly amusing, I suppose. On the other hand, it's absolute misery for the people involved. Then Tiger had another had his DUI, as you'll recall, in I guess that was 2017. The poor guy was really suffering with pain from his back, and I think psychic pain too, given the combination of drugs in his system. It seemed plain that he couldn't sleep, that he was in pain, and that his his mood had just cratered. So his DUI, while it caused headlines with the identical phrasing DUI of the Tiger, as you may recall, mm-hmm. it indicated a man to feel sorry for, really.
We're talking, if you've joined us a couple of minutes late, listeners, on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. We're talking with Kurt Sampson, one of America's leading golf writers. We mentioned his previous bestseller, The Masters and Hogan. That would be Ben Hogan, of course. Kurt has also written for Sports Illustrated, for Golf Digest, and for Golf World. And we're talking about his latest book. The title is Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. Well, in addition to those personal problems caused by his serial adultery and so on and so forth, and the fallout from that, Kurt, he also suffered from multiple and serious medical issues and injuries. And I'm sure you discussed that at some length in your book.
Of course. Something about Tiger, either the shape of his swing or the zillions of repetitions of it, or perhaps incorrect workouts, have caused him no end of trouble with his body, especially the left knee and lately the back. He had, not that long ago, spinal fusion surgery in which vertebra in his lower back were bolted together. And that doesn't really bode well for Tiger long term. I'm asked often, do I think he'll win three more majors to equal Nicklaus's record? If I were betting, I would bet against it. Every medical person I've talked to about this issue says that arthritis and decreasing flexibility are inevitable, no matter how hard you work out. And I give props to Tiger for how very hard he works on his body. He's absolutely dedicated to that.
We'll take a quick break. We have a few more minutes that we're able to chat with Kurt Sampson about his book on Tiger Woods. Fascinating story, whether you're a golf fan or not. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. We'll pick up our conversation with our guest, Kurt Sampson, right after these words. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Mullarkey. We're talking with author Kurt Sampson on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. We're discussing his most recent book, Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. In addition to his back problems and his vertebrae fusion and everything else, he's had serious problems with his knees. Has he not, Kurt? Several. I'll be honest with you, I've lost count on the number of knee operations he's had.
Yes. Tough injuries for a golfer. That he's overcome them to some degree, possibly temporarily. I have great respect and admiration for that. But as I say, his long term outlook as a major winner isn't rosy. His best days obviously are behind him, and yet he has such great course knowledge of Augusta National. He's played, I think, 87 competitive rounds there. It's virtually his home course. That's why I think he could still win the Masters. And wouldn't that be something to see?
Wow. A little bit more about the injuries from which Tiger Woods has come back, all these surgeries and so on and so forth. Someone might say, has anyone else in sports ever done that? Well, we might point to a gentleman that you talked about in your earlier book, Kurt Sampson, and that would be Ben Hogan, because a lot of people forget that he was almost killed in a traffic accident midway through his career. Am I remembering that correctly?
You are, Dave. Absolutely right. He collided with a Greyhound bus, Ben and his wife, in February of 49, and that he came back after almost dying twice in the next few months, that he came back to win and perform at a high level for a few more years is an incredible story, and was made Ben Hogan the topic of a Hollywood movie of his life while he was in the midst of living it. I took some pains to compare Tiger's comeback with that of Hogan and some others in this book, but I find that Tiger's comeback had a totally different flavor in that he went from a paragon, somebody parents wanted their kids to be like, to somebody they wanted their kids to never be like. Tiger, as you will recall from almost 10 years ago, was the butt of many jokes and a staple of the monologues of late-night TV comedians. You can almost hear it in your head, can't you? Oh, yeah. Leno or Letterman saying, well, how many mistresses is it now, Paul, or whatever. So Tiger's comeback from that indicates a very resilient character, a guy who always saw a champion when he looked in the mirror.
Well, whether you're a fan of Tiger Woods or not, whether you you like him or you can't stand him, it's inescapable the effect that it has on television ratings whenever he is A, in a tournament, and B, in contention in a tournament. I mean, the TV ratings go through the roof, don't they, Kurt?
So true. Jack Nicklaus was, pardon me, was over the moon that Tiger kept his commitment to play in his, that is Jack's tournament, the Memorial in Columbus, a month after Tiger won the Masters, because it ensured the success of the tournament and ensured high television ratings. Tiger's just a magnetic figure. As you say, love him or loathe him, that one fact can't be denied.
Talking with Kurt Sampson, again, the title of his book, Roaring Back, The Fall and the Rise of Tiger Woods. He does, however, by his personality, I think, bring out the best and the worst in people. I can tell you this, Kurt, my evidence is anecdotal, but in my regular golf foursome, the guys that I regularly play with, there is one one of my friends who thinks that Tiger Woods walks on water. He loves him. And I have another member of my regular foursome who can't stand him, doesn't care for him at all. He doesn't like the way that he, you know, pumps his fist and carries on and so on when he makes a putt or wins a tournament. Is that unusual, the reaction that I get from the members of my foursome, or have you seen that in your research down through the years?
No, Dave, I think rather it's typical. I went back to Augusta in the aftermath of this of his big win and just sat around at Augusta Country Club, which is next door to Augusta National, and there's a good amount of there are quite a few Augusta National members who are Augusta Country Club members, and this is what they were saying. I had on my left a man saying that Tiger has grown and he is a much more appealing figure nowadays. He's seems happier and swearing less on the golf course. And then there's on my right is another man saying he just can't stand the flamboyance of Tiger's celebration when he makes a putt. His self-absorption, which is not unusual in professional golfers, but from upbringing, I think, possibly from DNA, Tiger's self-absorption is beyond anyone else.
Yeah. Do you think the fact that he's a man of color has anything to do with the people's reaction to him? I can, the first golfer of color that I can remember being, have any modicum of success on the pro golf tour was a guy named Charlie Sifford, and that's way back when. But as you mentioned earlier, the golfers of color are few and far between in professional golf.
That's true. I would say two things about that. First, that Tiger isn't black in the way that most white Americans think of as black. He lived in a white town, had white girlfriends, white high school. He did not suffer any particular racial bias in his life. On the other hand, his father is Earl Woods, who did. Earl was always, it was always front and center in Earl's life and mind and speech to his son about how poorly he'd been treated as a younger man. Earl was an athlete, played baseball for the University of Kansas, and it was the bad old days. Earl, I think, was about the only black player, pardon me, in the league. That would have been the Big Eight, I guess. At any rate, it was that time when the team would check into one hotel, and poor Earl would have to go elsewhere to a hotel that accepted blacks when the team was on the road. So Tiger was exposed to this sort of horrible treatment, but but only vicariously, only through his father.
Well, the only reason that I mention it, this racism, subtle or otherwise, rears its ugly head in sports. I know here in Western Pennsylvania, the late Roberto Clemente, the superstar of the Pirates early in his career, when the Pirates were on the road, he had to stay in a different hotel than the rest of the team.
Crazy.
And I mean, this is Roberto Clemente, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, one of the best players ever.
Yeah.
It's shameful that that past we have. I think we're slowly, obviously, getting some enlightenment on that issue. I hope so.
One more question. I know I'm keeping you overtime here, but this is such an interesting story. As I said earlier, you know, whether you follow golf or not, you know who Tiger Woods is. You mentioned that you're doubtful that he can get three more major wins and catch Jack Nicklaus. But what about regular tournament wins? He just, boy, correct me if I'm wrong on this, did he not just tie Sam Snead's record of regular tournament wins or come within one this past fall?
He did indeed. He tied the all-time record for wins, which I believe is 82. So hats off to Tiger. I just don't see him winning full field events much anymore. Hopefully one or two, because it benefits us all, including us book writers, to have, that is, authors of books on Tiger, to have his name front and center, which it will be for the next 2 weeks. He's hosting his own tournament, which is called the Hero World Challenge, I believe. And then he's a player captain of the American side in the President's Cup. So there we go. Tiger, what a very interesting man he is. From what he does, much more than what he says. He's, as I've said a time or two, the only time he's boring is when his lips are moving. He's one of the all-time cliche kings in sports.
And never one to be boring or shy away from controversy. He appointed himself as a captain's pick to the President's Cup team for the U.S., I believe, right?
he did, but I think that was it was justified, and I hope he plays well. I hope it's fun for all concerned. I know I'll be watching.
Kurt, great to talk with you today. Kurt Sampson, our guest, listeners, the title of his book, Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. Thanks, Kurt. Enjoy the conversation.
Me too. Very much so, Dave. Thank you.
Sure. Miller's Shoes, South Main Street, downtown Butler, where families have been shopping for value and quality for over a century. In fact, for 127 years, believe it or not. Just think about that. Miller's Shoes, 127 years, downtown Butler. They're your headquarters for famous name brand shoes that you know are going to last. We're talking about Timberland shoes and boots, by the way. Great as we head into the cold weather season, Timberland. They also have Rockports, they've got Trotters, they've got Hush Puppies, they've got men's and women's slippers. Where do you find slippers? Miller's Shoes. And a complete selection of athletic shoes for everybody in the family, men, women, teens, kids. They've got all the famous name brands right there under one roof. Nike and New Balance and Saucony and Rockport and Keds and Skechers and Easy Spirit and Asics and ProPet. They got them all right there. Miller's also your local headquarters for SAS Comfort Shoes. Miller's Shoes, 127 years, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Going to be talking about our country's forests on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Listeners, my name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest joins us by telephone. He is Jim Furnish. Jim is a former deputy chief of the U.S. Forest Service. We want to talk about the Forest Service's roadless policy, Jim. And first of all, we better explain to our listeners just what that is. What's the roadless policy anyway?
The roadless policy was enacted by the Forest Service almost 20 years ago, in 2001, to ensure that areas that remain roadless in character would not see any further commercial timber harvest or new road building. This affected 58 million acres. It was 2% of the United States. And most of this was admittedly in the western U.S. and the big chunk in Alaska, which is why it's in the news again. But even the Allegheny National Forest there in Pennsylvania has some roadless areas of note.
So this policy was enacted some 20 years ago. Why is it in the news today, Jim?
Well, the governor of Alaska petitioned the Forest Service to eliminate all these roadless protections for 9 million acres. Now, the Tongass National Forest is down near the Juneau area in southeast Alaska. It's the size of West Virginia, and half of it is roadless, so 9 million acres. And the governor of Alaska wanted to eliminate these roadless protections for all 9 million acres, largely to preserve the opportunity for timber harvesting where they clear-cut old growth primarily. And so it's hugely controversial in Alaska, and I would say for those who are caring about our public lands, it's a big issue. The Tongass National Forest is the crown jewel of all the national forests in the U.S.
A little bit about our guest listeners. Jim Furnish retired from a 34-year career in the Forest Service, the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service. He served as deputy chief for National Forests for a period of 3 or 4 years back in the late 1999-2002 year. And you worked, what part of the country did you work in, Jim, when you were with the Forest Service?
Well, I worked mostly in the Rocky Mountains, Colorado, Wyoming, but then also a stint out on the West Coast in Oregon. And then I had two tours in the national headquarters in Washington, D.C., and it was my honor to visit almost every national forest in the United States, of which there are 125, and I've been to the Allegheny up in Pennsylvania several times.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if listeners don't think we have a national forest, and we have a lot of state forests around here, one of the most famous and the most beautiful is Cook Forest State Park. But we have a national forest, Allegheny National Forest, and actually it's quite near Cook Forest. And you say you visited there on a number of occasions, Jim?
Yeah, I have. And I would say for people that don't know, the Allegheny Plateau there is really the world's epicenter of high-quality black cherry. And it's a really important international wood product for furniture and veneers, that kind of thing. And the Allegheny, it grows it like nowhere else. It's really incredible.
So that's why you feel that we need to protect these forests from roads?
Well, the issue in Alaska, you know, has to do with pitting commercial activities like logging against some of the other important activities on the Tongass National Forest, notably salmon fishing. Both commercial and sport is a huge, huge industry. And then tourism, there are 1.5 million people who tour the inland passageway there on tour boats every year. And so scenery, fishing, these are the things that are really driving Southeast Alaska's economy. And, you know, trying to make these 9 million acres available for timber harvesting seems so counterproductive when they already have ample lands elsewhere. And the Forest Service has to consider the petition, but they don't have to grant it. And me, I prefer that they just tell the Alaska governor, no, thank you, but we're not going to go there.
Should the Forest Service, in fact, decide to grant this lumber industry exemption, could it have future implications for places other than Alaska, Jim?
Yeah, we've seen state petitions run through the process in Idaho and Colorado. It's been pretty quiet recently until Alaska's petition came through. And the eastern United States, we don't see too much of that. But I would argue that so few eastern lands are unroaded in character and wild that, you know, the few roadless lands you do have on the Allegheny, as well as some of the small wilderness areas, are really important vestiges of what the eastern forest used to look like before the white man civilized the area. So they have a really profound importance in our eastern national forest as well.
This may not be in your bailiwick, Jim Furness, but I'll ask you anyway. I don't think there's any Marcellus shale gas in Alaska. We have a lot of it here in Pennsylvania on the Appalachian Plateau. Do you know if fracking for natural gas is permitted in national forest land or not? Are you familiar with that? I don't know myself.
Oh, yeah, I'm highly aware of a lot of the fracking activity in Pennsylvania and neighboring Ohio, West Virginia, all these. It's not an issue. They have hard rock mining for some gold, of course, and other precious minerals up in Alaska, but not. They don't have any of the oil reserves except way up on the North Slope, you know. But that's another huge issue. And again, when we start seeing these intrusive commercial activities, it's why areas that are roadless in character and wilderness are really important to hold on to what the country used to look like without development.
Is there an economic impact, or would there be an economic impact if this is in fact approved by the Forest Service? I'm thinking of, hunters, hikers, that sort of thing.
Well, interestingly, you know, there are a lot of people in Alaska that really engage in what I call subsistence living. They pretty much live off the land with hunting deer and fishing salmon and that kind of thing. That's the way they get their food. And this is important, especially for Indian tribes, of which there are a large number. So the economic impact, it would largely be felt, you know, on the kitchen table and that kind of thing. The impacts described by the Forest Service are very minimal for the timber industry, but the fishing industry is very concerned because of the bad effects that logging has on salmon streams, and they're very concerned given the magnitude. That's a $2 billion industry up there, that it's going to have negative impacts on the fishing.
When is a decision expected from the Forest Service, and are they taking any public comment on this issue, Jim?
Yeah, probably not expecting a final decision until next summer, but this is out for comment right now. The Forest Service has published a draft environmental impact statement, and they're taking comments up until December 17th. So if people were interested enough and wanted to find out more about the roadless proposal, they could look up the Tongass National Forest website. That's Tongass, and follow the leads there on the roadless, and it will show you how to comment, and they can take comments electronically as well as through the mail.
Jim Furnish, former Deputy Chief of the U.S. Forest Service. Jim, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for sharing some time with us.
Likewise, Dave. Thank you for having me. Sure. It's been a pleasure.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Coming up on the It's Your Turn program, I'm Dave Malarkey. Our next guest joins us by telephone. He is Jeff Poole, registered investment advisor. We're going to be talking about choosing a wealth mentor, particularly if you're thinking about retirement. Jeff Poole, nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Thank you, Dave. Very happy to be here.
So when a lot of folks are thinking about retirement, there are worries there. You know, how are you going to draw a paycheck from your nest egg? Are you worried about the markets? There's a whole lot of things that you're worried about whenever you're thinking about retirement, right?
You know, there really are. Sometimes it seems like it's, something very simple in the past, right? I mean, a lot of us, we had parents or grandparents that worked for 40, 50 years, possibly, started Social Security and started their pension. And that was really it. It was a pretty standard event where that has greatly changed. There's so many things to think about, healthcare, Medicare, Social Security, drawing a paycheck. Like you said, most of us are not going to have pensions. And then the big one there is also longevity. We're living very long, which is a wonderful thing, very excited for medicine and what's ahead in our future. Yet drawing that paycheck for an extra decade or two of our lives is something that a lot of us really just haven't planned for.
Jeff Poole is the co-author of a new book entitled Your Insider's Guide to Retirement. And one of the things you talk about is finding a wealth mentor. How do you do that, Jeff Poole?
Well, one of the best ways to find a wealth mentor is really to start with asking friends and family that you trust and just examine what they've done. Just like if you were to purchase anything else in life, sometimes the best way to find someone is word of mouth. From there, you really need to kind of do some of your own due diligence and homework, and there's some key terms that you need to look for that really differentiate people. One that you may want to look for is RIA. RIA stands for Registered Investment Advisor, and this really clarifies that they're an independent group, so you should get some unbiased feedback versus if you walk into a traditional bank or brokerage, those are not RIAs. Those are brokerage firms. And you have to just be aware that you're walking into a store, essentially, and that store has products and services to sell. So there could be some bias in there. It's not that these products or services may be inappropriate. It's just that you want to make sure that you get the full story. And sometimes you have to find someone independent that's going to give you that kind of feedback. You also want to look for terms like fiduciary. You know, fiduciary is a word out there that I think is starting to get some buzz. And being a fiduciary is very different, again, than being a broker. In that as a fiduciary, you're really acting in someone's best interest. You're putting their interest first. So this is also another word that you might want to even just pull up, you know, Google and type in RIA fiduciary and see what comes up in your local area. From there, you really want to look for someone that has a CFP or has a CFP, a certified financial planner, available in their office that you can talk to and speak with for, you know, advanced planning around estate planning or trusts or just some higher level questions. You want to make sure that that resource is available to you. And probably the biggest differentiator out there when you're really looking for a wealth mentor, you want to look for someone that's fee only. So that fee only planner is someone that is going to be very upfront with you and let you know what the cost of the services are. You really need to know the value and what you're paying for when looking for a wealth mentor, and that's transparency. So if you have someone you can speak to up front, they completely describe to you, okay, the fee for our service is $1,000 a year, or to create this financial plan, it's going to be $1,500. And you know what you're paying for, and you know what kind of feedback you're going to get versus paying traditional, you know, commissions or transaction fees, which you're more than likely going to find at a brokerage or a bank. And once you've kind of done all of that homework, you want to make sure that you talk to 3 to 5 different groups. You know, go out and interview these people. They're going to be working with your nest egg, and that's not really something that you just want to do off the cuff when you walk into a bank and divulge your life story to a gentleman or a lady that's there at the branch. You want to interview people and really make sure that you're finding the right person for you. After you've done all of that work, the heavy lifting is over, and from there I think you're going to find that you connect very well with that guy or gal that you find and have a great relationship going forward, which is only going to lead to greater success in your retirement future.
The number one fear for people who are planning for retirement is the worry that they might run out of money. You know, when Social Security first came into being, and that was way back during the administration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, they picked the age of 65 as being eligible for Social Security because back in those days, people didn't live a heck of a lot longer than 65. It's a whole lot different today. People are living longer with the Social Security, and that's a factor. You know, am I going to run out of money before I die?
You know what, Dave? That's great because I believe life expectancy back then was 4 years. So, you know, you had Social Security to take you to age 69. Can you imagine? I mean, now we're talking about people living well into their 90s. So you're absolutely right. There's a big differentiator there. And so you've got to have a couple of really, you know, numbers in mind when it comes to that. You've got to know what your expenses are in life. You know, you need to really plan for your expenses. And if Social Security isn't going to cover your expenses in retirement, you have to start putting some money away in a savings plan. You've got to look for IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, whatever your employer may offer. If your employer doesn't offer a plan, you'll need to open your own IRA, individual retirement account, and start putting money away. And believe it or not, over time, you'd be surprised at what that nest egg can grow to help supplement those expenses above and beyond what Social Security is going to take care of for you.
never too early to do that either, right, Jeff?
Never too early to do that. The earlier you can start, the better. And that really starts with a plan. You know, a financial plan is going to really be these written down goals. And we're traditionally not the best at setting goals as individuals. It's just human nature because it kind of brings upon accountability to ourselves, the possibility of failure. There's a number of kind of emotional sides to goal planning that really cause a lot of us not to take those steps. But on the financial side, you're absolutely right, Dave. If you start that planning goal in your 20s or 30s, it's greatly going to benefit you. If you're in your 40s or 50s, if we're living into our 80s or 90s, we're still talking about another 30 to 40 years of planning down the road. So it's never too late to start.
A quick break. We have a couple more minutes to chat with Jeff Poole, registered investment advisor. We'll pick up our conversation with him here on It's Your Turn on WISR in just a moment.
Are you looking to buy a house for the first time? At Armco Credit Union, they're known for competitive rates and low fees. But did you know their mortgage specialists will work with you every step of the way to make sure your best interests are served? Call the mortgage department at 724-284-2020 and ask them about their first-time home buyer program that allows a minimum down payment of only 3%. Don't have time to call or visit? Simply apply for a mortgage online, armcocu.com. Armco Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity and is federally insured by NCUA.
After the loss of a loved one, so many of us feel so alone. We ask ourselves, does anybody really understand how I feel? Who can I talk to? Who can help me get through this? Your answer may lie with Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler. We have a unique program called Someone's Caring, a carefully and sensitively designed program to help ease the pain and help fill in the gaps when you feel so alone. Men and women are invited to attend. Yes, men now realize that it's all right to express their feelings in a small group setting. They find that it really helps. We offer four programs: a grief support group for those who have lost a loved one, for survivors of a suicide, for bereaved parents, and individual sessions. Our own trained bereavement specialist, Robin S. Miller, personally conducts the sessions. Call us at Thompson Miller, 724-287-3706, 287-3706. We can help. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, because we care.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Malarkey. We're chatting with Jeff Poole, a registered investment advisor and a co-author of a new book entitled Your Insider's Guide to Retirement. How do you calculate, and of course this would differ for everybody depending on how much, you know, you're making during your working years, how do you calculate how much monthly retirement income you're going to need, Jeff? Is there a table or a formula or something for that, or guidelines?
You know, that's on page 67 of our book. No, I'm kidding, Dave. It's not on there. The secret table, right? No, it becomes very personal, and I think, you know, a lot of us have kind of heard the loose terms around, you know, 70% of your income might be what you need, or 75% of your income, yet it's really going to come much more down to lifestyle. You know, I don't know if you're aware, but there's 10,000 people that are turning 65 every day for the next decade. And when that many people are turning 65, there's not really going to be, you know, a standard formula for every individual that's retiring. You know, again, it comes down to three key goals. You've got to pay down debt, you've got to save on a regular basis, and you have to have a financial plan. And when you put those three together, you're going to come up with your number, because it's going to vary greatly on where you live, what you want to do. You still have a mortgage, not have a mortgage. There's so many key factors to those numbers. But if you can follow those three basic rules, pay down debt, save on a regular basis, and have a plan, you're going to be that much more on target.
If you start planning in your younger earning years, you can maybe get away with a little bit more risk. But as you draw closer to retirement age, when is it time to get a little bit more conservative, investing in things that mitigate risk?
Well, that brings up two other key rules. You know, that first rule of working with your financial mentor is, number one, don't lose the money. We cannot lose the money. We can't over-invest in the market to where we're unprepared for downturns at the wrong time. And then the second rule is that when you're retired, you want someone to send you a paycheck to have an amazing life. So send me as much money as possible every month so that I can go have an amazing retirement. And those two rules can conflict. You can't take on too much risk, but also receive, you know, a big paycheck from your account every month and have that continue for decades in retirement. So you have to really examine your personal risk level. You know, how much risk are you willing to take? And as Warren Buffett has said in the past, the risk really isn't about being in the market. It's about if you're out of the market. So we have to be invested in the market. We have to find a way to find return over inflation. And right now, if you're in CDs, you know, CDs are paying, you know, 1-3%, you know, on your money. And I don't know that that's really going to meet your retirement goals. So you have to be in the stock market. And finding that balanced portfolio, you know, between stocks, bonds, and cash is going to help give you a mixed, diversified portfolio to get your return, help you live an amazing retirement life. And a very important part of that, Dave, is having an emergency bucket. You've got to have some cash saved up, set aside, rainy day funds, because when that stock market does drop, it's not, you know, if, it's when. You can't have the need to go and sell stocks at the wrong time. So when stocks go down, bonds go up, that's when you use cash to get through that stock downturn. Stocks go back up, bonds tend to go down. You take some of your cash returns from the stock market and you fill that bucket back up on your cash side. And you just continue that cycle for years to come.
It's very easy when you see the markets go down to have an emotional response. I know you discuss how to leave emotional responses out of your financial decisions in your book. Can you talk about that a little bit, Jeff?
You know, that's a very good point because what happens to all of us is we're human beings and we're emotional, and there's this aversion to loss that we talk about in the book. And it's the feeling of when we win something, just think about anything in life. If, you know, quite often they use the analogy of the team that wins the Super Bowl and they're very, you know, happy and jumping up and down and very excited about the win. But the loss, the other side, the individuals that lost, that emotion sticks much longer and they think about it day after day and month after month, and it's much harder to overcome that loss. And that's really what happens in the stock market. As investors, you know, we've been on a 10-year bull run here since 2007-08 with the recession, and markets have gone way back up. But last November, December, you know, the market dropped. We hit bear market numbers. You know, market dropped 20% from November 8th to December 24th. And suddenly people had an extreme reaction to loss. And if you're going to have that emotional feeling to your money, you're going to make bad decisions. You're going to sell at the wrong time. You're going to buy at the wrong time. So you really have to overcome that emotion. And once you put a plan in place with the right financial mentor, and they're going to cover all of those ups and downs, and you're going to discover that with your plan, even if the market drops 5, 10, 15%, you have a plan in place that's going to be able to handle that. And if you can remove that emotion from your plan, you're going to be extremely more successful in life. And we spend a couple chapters talking about that in our book, and it's really that misbehavior that takes place in our brains that's sometimes, you know, uncontrollable. If you can just jump on the computer and make changes to your portfolio, you might feel better at that moment. Where if you have a financial mentor to talk to and kind of talk through these ups and downs in the market, you're going to stay the course and greatly increase your likelihood of success.
Jeff Poole, a registered investment advisor. You've been a licensed investment professional for what, 20 years now, right? Close to it.
That's right. 20 years. You know, you've seen a lot over those years. My two partners that I work with, you know, both as well, been in the business for 30 to 35 years. And that's really why we wrote this book. You know, we wanted to talk about how people can create a plan where they win the retirement game. You know, it's not about the brokers or the insurance agents or the banks. Because unfortunately, these places and individuals sometimes, you know, they have sales goals. They have sales goals that they need to meet. And sometimes they can, it's a hard balance of putting their interests in place along with your interests. And, you know, there's some bias that happens there. And we wanted to write a book that really talks about the inside scoop on Wall Street, you know, how Wall Street works, how financial planning works, how to find the right people and have an amazing life, have an incredible retirement and peace of mind and have a financial plan in place. And that's what this book is about.
Jeff Poole, co-author of a new book entitled Your Insider's Guide to Retirement. Jeff, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for being with us.
You bet, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
So long now.
Bye-bye.
The high school basketball season gets underway this weekend here on WISR as we once again follow the Knock Knights. Hi, everyone. This is Scott Briggs inviting you to join me all season long as we follow the Knights right here on 680 and the Trib Live High School Sports Network. It all starts Friday night as the Knock Knights take on Youngstown Cheney at 6:30 from Butler High School in the Butler Tip-Off Tournament. And then we'll be back on the air Saturday afternoon at 3:15 as Knock takes on Woodland Hills. It's two games this weekend right here for the Knock Knights on WISR. And it's presented all in part by the law firm of Dillon McCandless, King, Coulter & Graham, the John Thrower Cement Corporation of Saxonburg, Butler County District Attorney Rich Goldinger, Tri Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, Troy Allen Chevrolet in Slippery Rock, and Troy Allen Buick in Katanning, and Heffron Tillis and agent Mike McKee. Right here on WISR, WISR680.com, and the Trib Live High School Sports Network.
The Butler Little Theater presents live on stage The Language Archive, November 29th through December 7th. This quirky comedy concerns a linguist who's studying dying languages in different cultures but is unable to come up with the right words to say to his wife to keep her from leaving him. For ticket information, you can go online at bltgroup.org or check the Butler Little Theater Facebook page or call to reserve tickets evenings between 7 and 9 p.m. 287-6781. Don't miss The Language Archive at the Butler Little Theater.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the
snow is snowing.
Your eyes are soft and glowing.
Jack Frost is nipping at our feet.
I'll bet your lips are warm and sweet.
We've got that holiday feeling, that happy holiday feeling.
Let's roast chestnuts by the fire.
Any little thing you desire.
Those reindeer soon will be here.
Mean a thing to me, dear.
When Santa Claus begins his flight,
I hope he gets a flat tonight.
We've